The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You are listening to
This is
Cruise Radio Rewind.
Real reviews from real cruisers.
On this week's episode of Cruise Radio Rewind, we're going to get a review of Carnival Fascination. This ship is based down in San Juan, Puerto Rico, and it's actually there year-round, and it does a round of Southern Caribbean cruises. So it goes to like St. Thomas, St. Martin, St. Kitts, St. Lucia, and Barbados. So a little Eastern, a little Southern there. Jeff joins us on the line to give us a very detailed review of his seven-night cruise on Carnival Fascination. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Hey, Doug. Glad to be with you.
Yeah, man. Fascination was based here in Jacksonville for like 7 or 8 years. So I can't wait to talk about this ship because it's been a little while since we have chatted about it. Before we get to the ship, then we'll take a step back. You're up in the Raleigh, North Carolina area, and you had to get down to San Juan, where this ship is homeported year-round. Give me some pre-cruise thoughts. What made you want to sail this seven-night cruise out of San Juan?
Yeah, sure. It was our fourth time cruising. The first time we cruised, my wife and I, we cruised on our 15th wedding anniversary, and then we wanted to take the kids. We did smaller Eastern and Western cruises, and then we've been preparing for this cruise or thinking about it. It's been about 3 years since we cruised, and so we said, we're getting overdue for a cruise, so let's try to do a cruise. We had a son that was going into college, and we figured we wouldn't have very many summers left where he would have 2 weeks of availability. And the other thing we were doing is we were learning how to save airline, hotel, and travel points. You know, a lot of credit card signups and just paying off our credit cards and things like that. But we took about a year and a half just so that we could be budget savvy and do a really big cruise experience, mostly on points. So we were able to fly free, stay at the hotel free, and most of our cruise was paid through travel reward points.
Do you follow anyone in particular for, you know, kind of hacking with points?
Yeah, the first one that I jumped onto, we fly Southwest Airlines a lot, and so there's a Southwest Airlines travel gal. I think she just calls herself Go Travel Gal. Her name is Lynn Mettler, and just extremely knowledgeable, focuses her attention on how do you win the game at Southwest, how do you get your companion pass and be able to do that, you know, quickly, even if you're not a business traveler, you know, regular travelers can do that. Million Points blog, mm-hmm. I think was another big one that we followed. And there was several other ones.
I follow the Points Guy, and I believe it's 1 mile at a time.
Oh, okay,
Those two sites are kind of basically everything that goes against what Dave Ramsey says. I've been following, but whatever. So you make your way down to San Juan. How was embarkation to Carnival Fascination?
It was our first time in San Juan, and it, as we talk about each of the ports, it's going to be our first time ever in those. We've done Eastern, you know, cruises and Western cruises. First of all, Puerto Rico, my first time being there, what a beautiful island there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I get different impressions about what it's going to be like on the news, how the destruction or poor. And it was just beautiful, fantastic place. We stayed at the San Juan Marriott, which is right off of Coronado Beach. It was a great hotel. You know, we paid for it with points. It was a 10-minute taxi ride from the airport to the hotel, and then about a 12-minute taxi ride to the port. So everything's real close together. And on embarkation day, you know, we took an Uber from the airport. You have to take a taxi. Going back and front to the airport, you have to take a taxi. But the other places, you cut the price in half when you take the Ubers. So quick ride to the port. Our assigned boarding time on our boarding passes was between 1 and 1:30. And so we really didn't have to sit and wait. I was kind of surprised that when we got to the port that there weren't porters to take your bags right from the curbside you know, when I've been to Fort Lauderdale and Miami, it just seems like the porters are right there. You know, I've got my ones and fives ready to give tips. I want someone to carry my bag, you know. Right. We had to walk our bags. It seemed like it, you know, took about 10 minutes to kind of walk our bags in, get in line, until we finally got to the porters, and then they took care of business. From curbside to inside the terminal was 15 minutes. That's a little bit long for some of these cruises that I've been on, just to get in the terminal. But once we got in the terminal, everything just, we kept walking. And we're walking, we're going up and down escalators. We're giving our boarding passes to the carnival people. And then we're walking more, and then we're scanning our bags. And so it took another 15 minutes before we actually got on the gangway and got on the ship. This ship loads deck 3. So there's nothing fantastic when you go in. It's not, there's not an atrium. It's nothing, you know, glorious and over the top. It's just, it's very medicinal, boring looking, you know, when you're walking in. And then they greet you, and you take the elevators or the stairs before you get to some of the more magnificent.
So let's talk about the magnificent part then. What were your first impressions when you walked into that atrium?
From the first time we ever cruised 7 years ago to today, walking in that atrium, you know, there's just nothing like it for me, as tall as it is. I think there were 14 levels on the boat. The glass elevators are in the atrium. You know, the music's playing. The bar's right down there, and drinks are flowing for people that are drinking. So, you know, we wanted to get into that as quick as we could. And that's the part we like. Really, the first thing we did is we went up the stairs, and our rooms were ready by 1:30. So we checked into the rooms, or we opened the rooms, and the sail and sign cards, I can't remember if they would give us our sail and sign cards when we did our boarding passes in the past, but our sail and sign cards were in an envelope right by our door. Is that the normal thing they do now?
You know what, for the past 2 years or so, it has been, yeah.
But that was no problem. And then 1:30, we dropped our bags off. We had our swimsuits on already. You know, we were prepared with our onboard bag. And then we went straight to the Lido deck, like so many do. And I've been dying to try the Guy's Burger joint. So I need to get my first Guy's Burger.
You know what? You are probably one of 2,000 on that cruise that wanted to do the same thing.
You know, the strange thing, Doug, is that there was hardly anybody else on board when we were there. And we were starting to wonder when people would get on board. I figured that people just probably flew into San Juan and wanted to do their excursions there in San Juan. I mentioned to you earlier that some people got on Barbados.
Yeah,
they got on and got off at Barbados. And so I'm sure that the Barbados people wanted to have as much time as they could at San Juan. But I suspect a lot of people on that boat wanted to maximize their time in San Juan as well. You know, the old town San Juan is gosh, half a mile from the port there. And so it's really easy to just walk over into San Juan. But we asked one of the workers there, when do people start getting on board? And they said, really, 5 or 6 o'clock, you know, like late. Everybody was supposed to be on board by 5. So I figured we started to see a big increase of traffic, you know, by 4 o'clock. And then definitely by 5 o'clock and muster drill, you know, it felt like a normal cruise ship.
So what is it, an evening departure?
Yeah, it left at 6, I think.
Okay. That's the beauty, though. I mean, like, when you're sailing either Carnival or Holland America, it's so conducive to walking, you know, right, you're right there in the heart of downtown almost, whereas if you're sailing on Royal Caribbean or Celebrity, you're down at the Pan American Terminal, which is a couple of miles outside of town, so it involves a taxi or an Uber to get back and forth, where, you know, you can cut it kind of close if you're sailing on a Carnival ship out of San Juan and not have to worry about being left behind.
I think next time if we have just a port day, if we were on a ship that comes in there and has 8 hours, I think we would spend the maximum amount of time mm-hmm. that we could and just get on board, you know, 45 minutes before.
So what kind of stateroom did you book, and what did you think of it?
We've done on our cruises the interior stateroom. Again, we're kind of the budget-minded. We want to be on the ship. We want to be on the trip, and We want to save some money. You know, it's what we expected space-wise. You still have your regular, you know, shower curtain instead of a door. There's only two USB, not USB, but two plugs, and then one European plug there. The kids had a power strip. We had a power strip. You know, we kind of knew how to do that. And then we had one of the porthole rooms. So we were on deck six, and we were forward on the ship, porthole. So they have these two heavy portholes that give you some light and let you look out. If you lift them up heavy enough and unlatch the hook, you can actually shut those so you can have a little more darkness, you know, when you sleep. And then there's curtains that you shut, so you know, to kind of cut the light out of the portholes as well. So we do like to spend some time in the room because we like to nap a lot. So we'll have an afternoon nap. We'll go back to the room sometimes earlier at night and just sit and watch TV. My younger son wanted to say, I said, "What do you want to say on the radio?" And he said, "Tell them they don't have a lot of great kids channels okay. on the TV." They had Nickelodeon, and then there was another Nickelodeon type of channel. You know, for the adults, they've got a news channel. They've got a Food Network channel. They had Home and Gardening. They have different travel ones. And then about the half of the 20 channels are carnival-related, trying to sell you stuff.
Right.
But yeah. I got my fill of Food Network, and my wife got her fill of HGTV, and we spent a lot of good time in the room.
One thing I noticed recently that, well, I noticed it on Amazon, so I bought it. Now I travel with it, but because I travel with so much like camera gear and things like that, the European plug, you can actually buy a European plug that has like a regular American outlet, but also four USBs on it. So you can charge four USBs while, you know, charging your computer or whatever. So I thought that was a kind of cool thing that I picked it up and brought it on Carnival Sunshine a couple of months ago, and I swear by it now. It's a really cool way to get some more plugs if you so need it. Of course, most people like to, I guess, decompress when they get out to sea. So.
I'm really big on tips, and I love hearing the podcast, but reading blogs related to cruise tips or YouTube. And one of the things that I had picked up was make sure you have some of the cruise luggage tags. I didn't know they had cruise luggage tags, but you know, the luggage tags, they're these longer ones and this acrylic, and then they have this really strong strap on it, and you know, a metal strap, and you screw it on and they don't fall off.
Yeah.
You know, so many people, and it was windy on the going into the terminal, so some people's papers were flying around. I'd say half the people I saw, they had not done the luggage tags on their bag that they send you for Carnival. And I don't know how you deal with that. We even brought a roll of packing tape, you know, just in case something kind of broke, because we know how important it is to have those tags. And then for our bags, of course, we want those to get to our stateroom.
It took one time for my bag tag to get ripped off for me to buy those. I thought that I didn't get my bag by 7 o'clock. It was like after I did early dinner and I got back to my cabin, no bag yet. I'm like, oh my gosh, where is it? And I'm thinking, did I bring anything? Like, did I have anything in my bag that I shouldn't have had? Like, you know, booze or whatever, but I did not. But I went down there and I had to claim it because it was ripped off by, just in handling probably. Or someone, you know, whatever happened. But so from that point on, I ordered those bag tags that you know, have the, they're not like stainless steel, but you know what I'm talking about, like you were just saying. And I swear by those things. They are so awesome.
I think it was $12 on Amazon, and they sent me eight of them. And then eight lanyards with the smaller ones for your sail and sign cards.
Yeah. It takes one time to learn. You learn really fast, too. So let's talk about dining on board the ship here. We'll start in the main dining room. What time dining did you have, and what did you think of it?
Yeah, we had the anytime dining, and we had a great experience with that. We like to have the slower dinners. To us, it's still magical to us. It's still maybe not luxurious, but there is some luxury to it, and it still feels like, gosh, we're getting to eat at a fine restaurant, you know, for free. And we enjoy meeting the servers and We normally, Anytime Dining actually started at 5:45, and we would get there right about that time. So we didn't have a wait. A lot of times they kept track of the servers that we went to, and they said, "Do you have a preference of servers?" And we're like, "Well, you know, yes or no." And we ended up having a couple of the same servers for most of the cruise. So that's kind of fun. And you're close to other people, but there's still some detachment. So if you want to talk to the other table, if they want to talk to you, they can do that. But they seated us as a family together and not, you know, shove us in with a big booth full of, you know, 8 or 10 people. And a lot of times they would seat us by the window where we could watch the ship sail away at night or see the sunsets. So we really enjoyed that, and we enjoy all the choices. You know, you can order as many of the things as you want, and I just reminded my kids that that's okay if you want two of something, or if you want an appetizer, you want to double the appetizer and make that your meal, you can do that. Mm-hmm. It feels funny to do that. It feels wrong to do that, but they didn't bat an eyelash, Doug, at any time we asked for, you know, two desserts or the cheese plate, which is a dessert thing. We wanted that up front a couple of times. One thing I noticed is that it seemed like every day, as the cruise went on, every day the service got a little bit slower. And I couldn't really put my finger on that. You know, it wasn't just, it's always kind of slow whenever they have the lobster and whenever they had the dress-up days or the steak. But I just couldn't quite understand why the service just kind of seemed to slow down. And I never timed our sit downs, and I never complained about it, but you know, you need to plan if you're going to go to the dining room and not the buffet for a 90-minute sit down. And it might be shorter, but it's probably going to be about 90 minutes.
Yeah. I guess they probably get what bogged down with everybody wanting one or two or three lobster tails.
I'm probably contributing to the problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
We did go to breakfast a couple of times in the dining room, too, and that's fine. There was a lot of the same menu selections each time. In fact, I think it was the same menu every time. We didn't feel like we had quite the variety that maybe we did, you know, going to breakfast at the Toledo Buffet or certainly the Blue Iguana Cantina. But it was nice to sit down and nice to be served. And, you know, I think for us, so many families, you know, we just get busy and we do our separate things, or we're on our iPhones and whatnot. And so for us, it was really special just to sit down and expect the kids to be there. And they enjoyed it tremendously.
Yeah. As far as, what is it, the Lido Deck Marketplace or Lido Deck Buffet, I guess they call it on Fascination. How was that?
Always good. And if you don't like something, you can always find something else. You know, I just don't quite understand people that complain about cruise buffet foods. Maybe I haven't cruised enough and gotten picky enough, but it's just a privilege to me right. To be able to go and have all these choices. I think one thing to remember on some of these boats is that if one side is crowded, you can go to the other side of the ship and there's an identical buffet there where the line might not be that long. Or, you know, you can go to the back of the dining area where the buffets are, you know, where the pizza thing is, and there's a deli and there's a continental breakfast in the morning and there's a salad bar. You know, there's a lot of food options, and you don't always have to just start at the buffet. A lot of times if the line was big, I would cut in front of the line and go get my oatmeal because the oatmeal is just past the main part of the regular buffet, and I'd get an oatmeal or bagels are right over there. And I'd get that just for starters, and then I'd go back whenever the line would die down. That worked out pretty good. And then, of course, the Blue Iguana Cantina, you know, the breakfast tacos there were tremendous. And the people on the ship did not figure out until about day four that how tremendous those were. So that was kind of a, you know, if you're a veteran cruiser, just know that the omelet stations are going to be backed up. And it might take you 30 minutes to get your personalized omelet. They're right next door. They're just waiting for you at Blue Iguana to make your burrito for you.
The pizza area is in the back by the deli, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
And did you get to enjoy any pizza on this sailing?
Yeah, and I thought it was pretty good. There's just one guy back there. I don't know. The guy whoever was back there each time never seemed to have much personality, never seemed to smile very much. And I, you know, that's fine. But he would, you give him the order and then he'd go hide away and make the pizzas and not come back till the pizzas were done. And so sometimes the line could get long there. I don't really understand why, even on a smaller ship like this, they can't have some sort of pizzas available on a regular basis. You know, not a full pizza buffet, but why not have a few pies out there ready to go? Because somebody's always going to come and want a cheese or a slice of cheese, and somebody's going to want a slice of pepperoni. I just don't quite understand why that gets so backed up. I know why it does get backed up, because they have one person, but I don't know why Carnival doesn't make that a little bit better.
And people don't care, really, right? I mean, if the pizza is sitting out there for 15 minutes and I walk up, I'm still going to eat it.
Exactly.
You know, it's no big deal. Well, this ship doesn't have like any of the specialty restaurants or anything like that on it, so we'll go right to entertainment. How was the entertainment on this seven-night sailing?
So I have kind of up-and-down feelings about the entertainment on this ship. I thought that the shows were very average or even subpar. We went to some of the shows, but there's others that we just hung around and kind of checked out on deck eight there. And we just were not impressed much at all. You know, it's kind of the shows reminded me of whenever, as a kid, we would go to Six Flags and we'd be so hot from walking around and seeing the rides that we go inside the air conditioner place where they had the performances, not so much to see the performances, but to get the air conditioner. And I never really much liked those can type of shows, but they had a Motor City show, which was a Motown show. They had a Divas show where it was just the ladies with the strong voices that sang. And the most popular seemed to be the Latin Nights show. So all this Latin music. We had a lot of international people on board and a whole lot of Spanish-speaking people. And a lot of times, even when they would give the cruise announcements, they would give them in Spanish as well. So it's not a surprise that the Latin Nights show, you know, with people dressed up, you know, kind of skimpy too, that was real popular. You know, like I said, we kind of checked in on those. We went to the Hasbro and the Clue show, and we were just kind of bored at that. The lip sync battle, which is something new that I've not seen on one of the ships before. I thought that was interesting. You know, they had auditions on the Leo deck by the pool the day before, and then they picked the best two people to battle it. But, you know, they filled it with a whole bunch of other dancing and stuff. So they had two songs apiece with the lip battle, and then it seemed like they had about six other songs that the sing and dance team did. The cruise director was Mel. She was really over the top. I think a lot of people liked her. She just was somebody that liked the spotlight. Her voice was all over the cruise all during the day. My wife and I found her a bit annoying and someone that was trying to kind of, she liked to sing and dance, and it seemed like she was always trying to take the spotlight from people that were supposed to be, you know, heads of the show. But that's just my preference. I think a lot of people liked her. Another entertainment thing, you know, the trivia shows are always popular, and they had trivia at all different places of the ship. One thing that was funny about the trivia, though, Doug, was there always seemed to be people who had really strong accents given the questions. And, you know, people that didn't speak English quite as well, you know, their native language was Italian or Spanish. And I thought, you know, if you're going to give trivia clues or be a main person on stage announcing, it would be a good idea to be able to speak where you could be understood. I saw a lot of people leaning in or asking the trivia people to repeat, and I've never seen that before. We went to the karaoke. That was extremely fun. We didn't participate, but we watched dozens and dozens of people eager to sing and sign up, and most of them are great. There were four comedians on board, two at the beginning for the first 2 days of the cruise, and then two kind of near the end. It was 2 out of 4, Doug, on the comedians. One of them was a Cuban pilot comedian. He was really funny. One of them was a hypnotist comedian. He was really good. And the other two people were walking out, you know. So it was hit or miss on the entertainment.
Let's talk about the sea days here. Well, I guess only one sea day you had on this seven-night cruise. How was it as far as crowds and congestion?
on sea day, our family just kind of split up. My older son went to the Serenity deck. It was not crowded during the times he was there. My younger son, we bought him Wi-Fi for the day. We don't really buy the packages, but for the sea day, he wanted to be in touch with his Fortnite and updates and who knows what. And so he enjoyed that. My wife found a lot of quiet spots to read. And I kind of went to the loud places and hung around the Lido deck. And it was definitely loud over there. Just an acceptable volume and then turn it up about five more notches. And that's what the Lido felt like. You know, I could handle that for about an hour and a half. And, you know, the pools are the same. They're just, you know, crowded on the sea days. But, you know, if a couple people came out of the pool, then I could jump in the pool and get cool. They had the hairy chest contest like they always do on Carnival. And, you know, that's always amusing and fun. And I hadn't seen this before, but they had actually recruited judges from the audience, ladies, to come and sit down and judge the hairy chest contest. And the cruise director assigned to each of the ladies, how would I say this? She wanted one to, you know, to inspect the hair
and the muscles and all that.
And then the next one was to feel the hair. And then another one was to smell the hair. I don't know if that's been your experience that you've seen that or you even, you know, attend those, but I was just real surprised by that. I thought that was a little too edgy there. But the music was fun, and they had a big 80s trivia, music and trivia later in the day. Most of the musicians on board were great. There was the Caribbean music playing the kettle drums. Acoustic guitar singers all over the place, a jazz combo that was fantastic. Our day at sea, the winds were a little bit strong on that day. It wasn't drastic, but, you know, it's good to have in your stock of medicine a few different types of motion sickness. And my wife and younger son got the prescription motion sickness patches, and they didn't have any trouble at all the whole cruise with any motion sickness. So that was a good, you know, a good thing to have, especially on a sea day where the winds were a little bit heavier.
Yeah. As far as the ports of call you went to, what we'll do here, because you had pretty much like what, six of them. So what we'll do is give us the port of call and give us a highlight, then just move to the next one.
We started off at San Juan. We had one day at our hotel before, and 2 days after we went to Old San Juan at night. And that was fantastic and beautiful. We ate at a traditional Puerto Rican restaurant called Raices. And it's a chain. They have several of them, but it's a very nice, authentic experience. Of course, when you're Puerto Rico, you eat the mofongo, which is the smashed plantains with a lot of things added to it. And we got a good Puerto Rican food experience. At the end of the cruise, my son and I went to the Bacardi Rum Distillery. And that's such a well-done tour. It's a beautiful campus over there. They have three different types of tours: historical, mixology, or rum tasting. We did the rum tasting. You get a free drink. I'd highly recommend that one. Our first port of call once we were moving on the ship was St. Thomas. And I think part of this was for us to explore the islands, but also to be budget conscious. We really didn't do paid excursions. We just decided at each port we're going to go to the beach. And so my wife researched good beach spots, or sometimes we just tried to get the nearest beach spot if there was an expensive taxi ride. So in St. Thomas, we went to a place called Secrets Resort. And that's one where you can get a day pass, but they have a couple of shops next to it, including a dive shop. And then the dive shop has an area of beach all their own where they rent chairs. So we didn't have to pay for a day pass. We just had to pay for a taxi ride to the dive shop, and then umbrella, snorkel, and chair, I think was $40 or $50 for the whole family. So they have a restaurant there. The dive shop has snacks. We actually ordered some local pizza and got that delivered straight to our beach chair. So that was kind of fun. St. Thomas, we thought, was one of the more beautiful places that we were at. We really want to go back to San Juan and St. Thomas. And then our next port of call was St. Martin, probably the prettiest waters that we've seen in any of our Caribbean cruises. We went to Mullet Bay Beach. It was a scenic taxi ride around the island. I think it was about $10 a person. Mm-hmm. But chair rental at that beach was $5 a chair, $5 an umbrella. They had a Rosie's barbecue stand, which had amazing ribs, chicken, inexpensive beer. And overall, St. Martin is a beautiful island, and it's a cheap. It wasn't very expensive. So, you know, beers, basic beers, like the Corona equivalent beers were $1, $2, or $3, mm-hmm. really. Carib beer was one of the main ones, C-A-R-I-B. They had a couple of variations of that. And then when we were at St. Lucia, we had, you know, Pecan's beer, and they had other beers too. But I would encourage you to try out the local beers. And also at these islands, when you go, ask about the local juice, because they have their whatever's fresh locally, and they blend it together. So local juice is not a single juice, but it's usually a blend. Okay. So that was a good tip that we learned from our taxi driver. Next, we went to St. Kitts. I think of all the ports, Doug, this one seemed the most dirty and disorganized, at least in the port shops. Mm-hmm. This is the one where several of the guys have monkeys, and they want you to, you know, they'll put the monkey on you and want to take pictures with you, and can be a little pushy. And so we just told our kids, you know, if they want to put the monkeys on you, say no, and just kind of walk around or walk away. When we were in port at St. Kitts, Royal Caribbean had one of their ships, the Majesty of the Seas, which is a really big ship. And so, you know, thousands of people got off from Royal Caribbean. We got off. I'm sure there are ways to figure out if there are a lot of ships in port. I don't know if there's apps that do that or if there's websites, but that would be interesting to know how many other ships are going to be at port, and it might affect how we plan our day. But my wife and older son went to Carambola Beach. It was a real nice beach. It had good snorkeling, but it was a bit crowded. There was no Wi-Fi on the beach. Mm-hmm. So mainly the Wi-Fi was at the port shops if we had to use our Wi-Fi and check up. I think just thinking about phones, St. Thomas and San Juan are U.S. territories, so we had no trouble. We were able to use our current phone plans at those islands, but as soon as we got past those and sailed away, you know, we told everybody in our crew to shut your phones off, you know, and we'll use Wi-Fi whenever we get to the islands. And that seemed to be a pretty good strategy. We could always find some sort of Wi-Fi. My younger son and I, we stayed back on the ship for a little while and just kind of went to the port shops and did some shopping and caught up on Wi-Fi. I think one other bit of advice for St. Kitts is kind of save your excursion money for other ports. I think that the excursions they offered there, I think the things that were available there, they just didn't seem very exciting. But at the other islands, it's much more beautiful, much more exotic, much more clean and organized. St. Lucia was our next island, and boy, we just thought this was beautiful. St. Lucia was very, very expensive. It was expensive for taxis. It was expensive for shopping. It was expensive for souvenirs and excursion. So, you know, just make sure to, if you want to do St. Lucia, to budget well there. We went to a place called VG Beach, mm-hmm. and we had wanted to go to a beach near the Pecans, but it was a 2-hour taxi ride, we found out.
Oh, wow.
And we could have taken a water taxi, but it was $55 a person round trip. And, you know, I mean, we're not even doing a formal excursion. And if we want to get to the beach that we really want to get to, you know, $220, mm-hmm. that's a good chunk of change. So we just asked them, what's the closest beach that's nice? And they said, well, go to VG Beach. It was, I'd say, about 10 minutes away from the port. It was a $5 per person taxi ride. Two chairs plus a shared umbrella was $35. They had several little restaurants there. They had music going on. It was an incredibly fun day. And we could see where our boat was. You know, we just weren't far from everything. Yeah. And we got a really good beach experience there. And, you know, the nice thing is that when the cruise ship left St. Lucia, we passed the Pitons, which is just, you know, these high peaks that are there in St. Lucia. And next time, we'll take the water taxi over to St. Lucia. And then our last port was at Barbados. It's really generous on this itinerary that you get 12 hours to be on this island. It was another beautiful island. My wife had researched where to go, and we went to Carlisle Bay Beach. And there's a lot of places that you can rent chairs from. And the one that she had researched was called Harbor Lights, H-A-R-B-O-U-R, Lights. And really clean, organized, good restaurant, good bars, shops, and around about 10 minutes from the ship. So you could see the Carnival ship and the Royal Caribbean ship from where we were. There were a lot of chairs there, but it was a great value. So for $20, you got a chair, a shared umbrella, and a one-hour snorkel tour. And they took us to a shipwreck. Mm-hmm. We'd never snorkeled a shipwreck before, and we probably spent 20 minutes there. And then they took us to an area that had turtles. And so the people who had never seen turtles before got to swim with the turtles and just be on a boat, and they had snorkel equipment. And we thought, man, for $20, you know, to have a chair, an umbrella, and that was pretty incredible. It was definitely one of the best deals that we got on the whole trip. A lot of the excursions in Barbados, if they take you to a shipwreck, it's going to be the same one that we went to. So there was all these charter boats, you know, and even some from the Carnival ship that came over. So we really enjoyed that. You know, a lot of people, they go onto the island later. And so some of the excursions didn't even start until 12 o'clock or even after that. So by the time we were headed back to the ship, there were people just getting off and getting organized on tours for excursions. My wife decided to take my younger son back on the boat and then come back out and do some shopping. And then she jumped on one of these two-hour taxi tours. I think she paid $20. And she got a two-hour tour, and the driver had Wi-Fi hotspot in his taxi. Wow. So she could take pictures and upload them to Facebook right from the cab. So that was a fun, fun place, and I was glad that we had such a long time to spend in Barbados. And then we had a day at sea, and then we're back in San Juan.
Gosh, I'm trying to think of the place I went to in Barbados, but it sounds exactly like you were talking about. They brought us out to swim with the sea turtles because one tried to grab my GoPro, and then we went to a shipwreck, and there was a really long pier on the beach, and you boarded at the very end of this, like this boardwalk, this long dock. Was it the same way where you were?
Not the exact one, but okay. They had several different inlets to that Carlisle Bay beach.
Okay.
Gotcha. One of them was called Copacabana, and it was more expensive, but it was right next door. But then they had other ones. And then there was a couple of hotels that were to the left of us. So, yeah, it was a pretty crowded area. But, you know, we felt like we had our own space whenever we needed it. And we felt safe enough even to leave our backpacks so that we could go swimming and so forth.
Yeah, because I remember what you were saying. There's a lot of people, like a lot of boats and charters and things around the shipwreck and where the turtles are. So it must be like one isolated place.
Yeah. The only problem with that is that all of a sudden in the water, you've got 100 snorkelers.
Yeah.
You know, so that was kind of irritating. I've snorkeled before, and, you know, I just kind of stayed out of people's way until they moved on. But, you know, all you need to do is float and paddle with your hands, and people snorkeling, you know, they start kicking.
Yep.
And they start getting into you and not really aware of their space. And so, you know, I wasn't afraid to shove someone away.
It was called the Boatyard.
Oh, okay, the Boatyard.
Yeah, that's where we
looked that up.
So you make your way back to San Juan. How was debark?
I think debark was fine. We, you know, when those luggage tags become available, you need to go grab them. They were available day at sea starting at 11 o'clock. We waited till about right before dinner. We waited till around 5 o'clock, and boy, they'd been kind of stripped through. And so for those who've not cruised before, you can walk your own bags off. And that's fine. You know, we have five bags and some of them are large. So we wanted Carnival to do some of the work. So we got the luggage tags. We wanted to stay on the ship for a while. So we got some late, you know, exiting tags and just waited in the Lido buffet. It was really busy. people really don't know what they're supposed to do. So even with all of the announcements saying this is the call only for those who have all of their bags, you know, they said that all the time. And then, you know, and then people are going down there. Some of them, they have some of their bags, or they don't have the proper number, and then they're having to come back up. So I got an idea. There was just a lot of confusion about that. I wondered, Doug, if some of that was language barrier. You know, since we had so many Spanish-speaking folks, I just wondered if maybe they didn't quite understand, even if they were listening to the Spanish, you know, instructions. Or maybe it was just a lot of first-time cruisers. But, you know, it just seemed chaotic, but we just waited. We played on our phones and let the crowd spin out. Instead of going to the forward, you exit from forward deck three, and then everybody wants to go either that forward staircase or, you know, take all the elevators. You know, I said, let's take the stairs, or let's take one of the back elevators. And we were able to get down there quickly and just have a kind of a straight walk on deck three. You know, that's kind of one of these little cruise tips. You know, if everybody's going, exiting the ship from the same elevator and the stairs, you're going to have a pretty long wait. So, you know, figure out your ship and the map of the ship and explore a little bit and figure out which of those elevators that you can use in really busy times. But, you know, once we got off, the crowd had been thinned quite a bit. They had three lines leading to custom. The left line was for bags and porters. And a lot of people didn't realize that they were kind of going to the front of that line and then getting kicked to the back. So there was really two lines that moved along rather speedily. The guy at customs only asked us one question. He asked us where we live. And, you know, we had our passports ready. We were ready. You know, we prepared our kids. Don't kid around with the guys. You know, we used to live in an area where we crossed the border all the time and had to talk to customs people. And you just, you know, you can't kid around with those folks.
Yeah.
But we told our kids, you know, and he just asked us one question and he said, you know, go ahead and go through. So it was pretty easy. We called an Uber when we were done so we could save, you know, money from taxi. So you have to walk out of the port a few blocks probably to meet your Uber driver. So if you're going to Uber, just know that they're not going to be right there at the curb because it's filled with taxis. And it's filled with prearranged transportation, and it's pretty chaotic. And so, you know, we had to walk our bags, I think, 3 or 4 blocks and probably wait 10 or 15 minutes for our Uber driver to get there. But that was minimal for us. And I thought, all in all, we were out of the ship pretty quickly. One last thing about Debark is the souvenir stands right at the curb. Not carnival ones, but just the vendors that are outside of the port had really cheap prices on hats and shirts for $5 each, you know, that said San Juan, and actually looked really good. And I wish I had gone back and bought at least one of each of those, you know, a shirt and a hat.
A lot of those vendors there make some pretty cool things too, like a lot of jewelry and artwork that make it out, you know, they make it right there in front of you. It's really cool. There's a guy who sells jewelry out there. His name's Juan, and he goes by Juan of San Juan. And he just, catchy, right? He does some of the most amazing, I don't know the word for it, but like really cool jewelry, like necklaces and bracelets and things like that. And he's really, really affordable too. So, but yeah, I know what you're saying. Those shops out there, definitely hit them up before you head to the airport or back to your hotel. So looking back, what was the biggest highlight for you on this cruise?
I think being disciplined about saving up, whether it's money or points or money and points, you know, for us, I get so much excitement in the planning and the dreaming and the researching. And then to be on the ship and to actually have some of your plans go through, or that you have to go to your backup plan, or ask the cab driver, where do we go, and have a successful day and to have surprises. That's so much fun for us, is the itinerary working out or the improvised plans working out. We enjoyed the quiet times on the ship, you know, and even in a busy, fun ship like Carnival, you can always find magical, fun, quiet places. You know, your room, you can be in your room and read, but we always found really special places to, you know, to read mm-hmm. or to relax or to listen to music. And then, of course, the food for us, you know, having the variety at our disposal whenever, having the guys' burgers. I think I had five of them during the trip. And so that was all fun for us.
I love it. You're my hero. Do you have any first-time tips to offer anyone sailing Carnival Fascination out of San Juan?
I got a few tips that are kind of just general cruise tips.
Okay.
I was really surprised that every time we went to the taxi stands at the islands, that they were exactly correct on their prices. I mean, we knew where we were going to go, and then we could, you know, see it on the taxi sign. Or if we were changing our itinerary, you know, I found that I don't trust the taxi signs until I trust them, you know. Mm-hmm. But I found every taxi stand to be very organized. Their prices were solid. We double-checked them with the taxi drivers when we got in, and they said, oh, yeah, $5 a person. And, well, what if we would have went here this real far? Oh, yeah, that would have been $40 a person. That would have been a two-hour ride. So, you know, I was really glad to be able to trust the taxi stands. I think that the port shops, even though St. Lucia was a little bit pushy, I think most of the shops, you know, we didn't feel the pressure maybe that you feel from the vendors in the Bahamas or Jamaica. So I really like that. Something we tried to make use of is that really big bottle of water in our stateroom. We would use that. We would refill that, or we'd refill it in the morning with juice or tea and take it with us. And so it was nice to have that. And there's not much food that you can take from the ship off the boat. I guess you're not supposed to do that at all. And we didn't have the cereal boxes like maybe some cruises do. So you couldn't take any cereal off. But one thing I found that you could take is you could order an extra but the Blue Iguana burrito, breakfast burrito. And that may sound strange, but I said, can you give me another burrito? And I put that in my backpack, and that was a lifesaver, you know, if we got out to somewhere where it was a little difficult to get to a restaurant, or the restaurant took a long time, you know, to get their food ready. You know, we would have that juice and that burrito to snack on. So those are the odd tips I wanted to share, Doug.
Yeah, awesome. I appreciate that. In closing here, final thoughts of Carnival Fascination.
Tremendous ship, you know, great experience. It's an old ship, you know, it's a 1994 ship, but it's been through a couple of upgrades, including the 2.0 upgrades. The paint is faded. There's some rough spots. The deck is faded, but the quality of the experience, the people there, is not faded. It's very fresh, very fun, and we can't wait to go back on our next cruise.
Yeah, I can't believe how old these, or maybe I'm just getting older, how old these fantasy class ships are now. My very first cruise was in the 90s on Carnival Fantasy, and that ship's going to be 30 years old next year.
Wow. Golly.
Yeah.
First one we went on was Ecstasy.
Mm-hmm.
We went on Ecstasy. I think that was the 7-night one that went to Belize and went Western. We did Norwegian Sky for a Bahamas cruise. I can't remember. Legend. Carnival Legend was the other one. And I think that's the one we took to Key West and Cozumel. That was kind of a short one. I think those were the cruises we were on.
Very nice. We've been talking with Jeff about his 7-night cruise on Carnival Fascination out of San Juan, Puerto Rico. Jeff, thank you so much for coming on and giving this detailed review this evening.
Thanks, Doug. It's been fun to join you.